It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and thank you for tuning in to our weekly outdoor show, and thanks a lot for getting up this early to listen. You know, folks like us that hunt and fish, we have a tendency to get up early and get about our business, but I will remind you that this show is archived, and you can listen to this particular show a year from now if you like, and all you have to do is go to ketr.org. ketr.org, and then just click on local programs, and you'll see Outdoors with Luke Clayton. That's the way you can listen to this for a long time. But, you know, fall is one of my favorite times to get down to Lake Caddo. Caddo's one of my favorite destinations in the world, and I've had an opportunity to go to a lot of neat places. There's just nothing like Caddo. And Billy Carter and his wife, Dottie, have lived there for a long, long time, a lifetime. They've got a bunch of lake homes there that they rent out on the weekend or during the week or weekends, places for people to get away to. Billy manages Johnson's Ranch Marina, and actually, I think we've got Billy on the line. He's at the marina, so there might be some fishermen coming in while we're talking, but nobody knows more about Lake Caddo than my friend Billy Carter. Billy, are you with us this morning?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, and thank you very much for being here, man. I know you're at the marina, Johnson's Ranch, which is the oldest inland marina, folks, in the state. It really is. So we're talking to somebody that's connected with a whole bunch of Caddo history right here with Billy. Billy, well, duck season, kind of start off with a little update on the ducks. Is it still a bit early in the season for good numbers of them?
Yeah, there's not a whole bunch of ducks, but they are killing some mallards and some gadwalls out on the big water.
Uh-huh, good. Well, it's just a treat to do anything down at Lake Caddo, but you and I have enjoyed some really fun duck hunts and many, many fishing trips down there in years past. And my goal is to connect people with Caddo, Billy. Many of our listeners are, you know, have been to Caddo many times, I'm sure, but some of them haven't. And that's what my whole career as an outdoor writer and radio host has been all about, is hooking people up with neat things to do. The Yellow Bass Run, that's what I want to get an update on. Folks, usually in October, those yellow bass pack the Cypress River channels. They get in there in huge numbers. There is no limit. Some people call yellow bass barfish, but Billy introduced me to them 20 years ago, how good eating they are. And Billy, down there on that Cypress River at Caddo, they're the biggest yellow bass that I've run into anywhere.
Yes, sir. They're pretty good size down here. You'll average 8 or 9 inches for most of them, but you catch some a lot bigger, like up to 2 pounds for the hybrid yellow bass.
You bet. Well, how is the yellow bass fishing going right now? Has that kicked the fall fishing kicked off?
Absolutely. It started about a week ago. It was late getting started, but the channel's packing up with them right now. People are catching 50 to 100 of them in a few hours.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know, you've got me trained. I'm a pretty good yellow bass fisherman. I've been trained by you for 20 years. If you and I had some fresh minnows, we cut those minnows into each minnow would make 3 baits. You don't need a big bait. Use those case-hardened hooks and a little split shot to keep the bait down close to bottom. You think you and I could catch, in 3 or 4 hours, think we'd catch enough to feed a few people?
We'd probably catch 100 fish in 2 or 3 hours.
Aha! Well, you don't know it, but that may happen here in a week or two. I'm sure getting the itch to get down there with you, Billy. And it's kind of a tradition to me, kind of like the opening of deer season, except it's the opening of yellow bass season. And that may open in late October or November, but traditionally by now, Those yellow bass are in that channel, aren't they?
Right, right. They're just running a little bit late this year, but they're still on it hot and heavy right now.
Now, are you finding them widespread along the channel? I know that current channel crossings is always a good spot, but not necessarily the only place that you'll catch them, is it?
No, you can catch them all up and down the river channel.
Okay. Now, many people know where Johnson's Ranch Marina is. Let's kind of use that as a headquarters for yellow bass fishing. Do you have to go very far upstream or downstream from Johnson's Ranch to...
No, sir. You can go 50 yards from here and catch fish. Now, you might have to move around just a little to find out where they're really stacked up day to day, but you're going to find them close to the marina.
You know, I remember one cold winter. It was probably into January or late December. I had a couple of brother-in-laws down there with me, and we stayed in one of your lake houses. And you had one of your guides that was working with you then, and you and I, and there was probably five or six of us, but we weren't far. I bet we weren't 150 yards from the marina there, from Johnson's Ranch, and out in the current, out in the middle out there, and we hammered. Do you remember that? I mean, we caught the daylights out of them.
Yes, sir, we caught them, and, well, we usually always catch them.
Yeah, that's nothing new, but I remember that particular day we had a bunch of people, and some of them were kind of a little bit novice at what we were doing, but a fishing trip for yellow bass in the winter. Now, crappie, I love to catch them, love to eat them, but crappie fishing is a finesse-type fishing. It really is. I mean, they're not hard to catch, but yellow bass, when they're in there stacked up, they are, in my opinion, one of the easiest fish to catch, which makes them great for kids, doesn't it?
It's absolutely the easiest fish to catch there is out there.
And as far as the flavor, people like you and I and you know, our families that love to eat fish, in my opinion, I'd really rather have, I know this is blasphemy with a lot of people, I'd rather have yellow bass fillets than crappie. And I know you're of the same mindset, Billy.
Right. To me, the meat is just as sweet, but the texture is a little more firm with your yellow bass even than it is with the crappie.
It is, and that's it makes them, if you like crispy fish fillets, which I do, the little fillets, even on, well, say, an average 10-inch yellow bass, and you know, you're going to catch some that are going to be 12 inches, too. I mean, if you catch 100, several of them are going to be, you know, 12 inches or more. But a 10-inch one makes two nice fillets, and actually, they're pretty thick fish, aren't they?
Exactly. They're good bites on one side of a yellow bass, so you don't have to have 10 or 15 fish to feed a couple of people that really like to eat fish.
That's true, Billy. Well, let's shift over to crappie, because I know just there's a lot of people that like to come down and bring their boats or get a guided trip down there for crappie with y'all. How about crappie in the last few days?
The crappie are doing well. They're catching them also in the river channel, primarily along the stumps. The stumps, the older stumps that are on the deeper edge of the river channel, the old river channel.
Okay, and there's a lot of roots people probably don't realize or think about that, but, you know, they think they're just fishing a vertical piece of structure, a stump, but the truth is down at where that stump hits the bottom, I mean, there's a root system down there, isn't it?
Yes, there is.
And I guess that's, you know, one reason the bait fish hang in there and the crappie, you know. Catfish, anybody doing any catfishing down at Caddo this time of year?
Not too many people are catfishing. Now, they had been, but the water's dropping right now, so the catfish aren't doing a whole lot.
Okay, but your prediction is here, the next couple of weeks, actually these yellow bass, they're going to be in there throughout the winter. But it's time for people that wants to come, that really want to come down and catch the yellow bass. It's time to plan a trip, right?
That's right, and the bigger catfish are going to be following those yellow bass, too.
You know, that's true, too. And the neat thing, I've noticed many years fishing with you, even in the winter down there, you know, we'd be in the channel. Most 90%, well, all of our yellow bass fishing is done in the Cypress Channel. A lot of times it's not uncommon to find sand bass, white bass schooling, you know, right there in the channel, is it?
That's correct. The sandies have already moved up. They swim a little faster than the yellows because of the size. So they're already above here 3 or 4 miles in the river channel of course, they're headed for the dam at Lake of the Pines, the headwaters. So,
the right now, I mean, not uncommon to get in some white bass too, I guess.
Right. They're mixed right there amongst them.
Well, that's a good, you know, I'm certainly not going to knock the yellow bass, the white bass that's mixed in, because truthfully, they're good eating too. They're not, to me, they're not as good. Nothing's quite as good as a yellow bass, but white bass fillet, if you run that fillet knife, don't bear down on the skin. Leave a little of that red meat on the skin, and then just kind of skim it off with a sharp-bladed fillet knife. You know, white bass, Billy, pretty good eating too, you know.
Oh, I enjoy them too. I like to broil my sand bass. That's the only difference.
Yep. No, they're usually a little bit bigger fillet. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you made any more of that, oh, man, duck spaghetti?
I have not made any this year. I haven't had an opportunity to hunt yet.
Well, folks, Billy, I don't know. I think you devised or invented this recipe for duck spaghetti. It's not something you're going to prepare in 5 minutes. You actually render that duck. You simmer that duck carcass and the meat for hours, don't you?
Yes, sir. Simmer the ducks for hours and then debone. And make sure you don't have any of that steel shot floating around in there.
Yeah, you bet. That's not a good thing when you're eating. But then the spaghetti, you know, you just don't think about ducks and spaghetti going together. But
well, it goes good with rice or on top of biscuits or any way you want to do it. It's kind of a duck sauce. It's probably 90% vegetables. You really don't know what to think of it when you see all those vegetables go in and all those ducks go in, and then you come out with a sauce.
Yeah, and that sauce can, that's what it is in a sense, isn't it? You could put that on the real, I don't know if it's called angel hair spaghetti, but the thin spaghetti, you can put it on that or biscuits or whatever. I need to get that recipe back out, Billy, and but the vegetables, there's kind of, name a few of the vegetables that you do put in there.
Well, I cook primarily everything with the trilogy, I call it. That's your onion, celery, and bell pepper.
Okay, that's the main ingredients, right, as far
that's
as the vegetables?
That's the main ingredient. Of course, you start with a roux. So.
Yep. Make that, and that takes a little bit of time. Do you ever use the instant roux when you're making something like that?
No, sir, I don't.
I knew the answer.
It takes hours for me to cook a batch of that duck sauce.
I know. I know.
Half a day affair.
I cheat sometimes when I make gumbo, but I make gumbo a good bit. I like to freeze it up, you know, and duck and sausage gumbo is an awesome combination. But
yes,
freeze,
it is.
You know, freeze it in little containers there. And my wife's not a big eater of duck, but when I get ready for a little lunch or something, I'm around the house, I'll throw in some rice, cook me a little rice and put that in there. And you're talking about some fine eating. Billy, we're about out of time. To look at all the lake houses down there, and I know they're popular, Spatterdock, SPATTERDOCK, spatterdock.com, or if you want to know about the marina there, is it johnsonsranchmarina.net?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. And how about a number, Billy, where folks could call you?
The number for Spatterdock is area code 903-789-3268. The number for Johnson's Ranch Marina is 903-789-3213.
Well, Billy, thanks a lot, man, and I hope to see you real soon.
I hope we get together and catch some of those yellow bass. It's time to rip some lips.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at KETR.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoke in Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 889-KETR.